This is the Hoosier Ag Today, Thursday podcast on the 21st of August, 2025. I'm Andy Eubank, and CJ Miller and I, along with Ryan Martin, Hat Chief Meteorologist, have the latest Indiana farm news, plus markets and weather. It's all brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for 140 years. Visit them online, ffbt.com, to learn more. In the news, the top priority issues for members of Indiana Farm Bureau. We have an update from President Randy Crone, including property taxes, and a crop update coming, too, from West Central Indiana. Ryan Martin's forecast, just perfect with cooler, less humid conditions. And there were small gains in the corn, soybean, and wheat markets yesterday. Tom Fritz checks in with commentary on the Hat Thursday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust, equal opportunity lender, member FDIC.
Property taxes remain a top policy concern for Indiana Farm Bureau, and a crop update from West Central Indiana. I'm CJ Miller, and this is Hoosier Ag Today News. Property taxes, renewable energy projects, and the unauthorized use of drones over Indiana's farms and ag businesses. Those were among the key issues brought up during Indiana Farm Bureau's recent delegate session.
What's happened with property taxes, the way they've gone up, it's got to be addressed.
And that's Randy Crone, president of Indiana Farm Bureau. He tells Hoosier Ag Today that the majority of delegates want Indiana lawmakers to eliminate property taxes altogether,
with the replacement coming from either income tax or sales tax on services, and being an exemption for ag, medical, and business to business. And then also the policy, they wanted to put a freeze on property taxes until they actually get eliminated. So they did tweak our policy. They want more definite, solid results out of this.
Renewable energy was another issue addressed among the delegates.
Our policy shifted a little on this, and our members had said they want incentives for renewable energy to be located on non-productive farm ground. So that was put into policy this time. Also, they want to cap how many acres of prime farmland could be used in each county if you're doing it for renewable projects.
Crone also says there are concerns over reports of unauthorized drones being flown without permission over Indiana's farms and ag businesses.
We did strengthen it to add some civil and criminal penalties for nefarious uses of unmanned aircraft or drones, because, you know, I had a story of one said they went through his freestyle barn and on his dairy farm, and that's not right. So to have some limits on what they can do and how they can use them, or maybe they're not up to mischievous things, but maybe they are.
Check out my full conversation with Indiana Farm Bureau President Randy Crone. It's at HoosierAgToday.com.
Hey, farmers need equipment? Check out Purple Wave Auction every other Wednesday. They're running ag auctions where everything sells, no reserve, no games. What I love is how they let you talk directly with sellers. Got questions about that tractor? Just ask. That's the kind of hometown service you want. But here's the kicker. Your equipment gets seen by buyers across the entire country. Whether you're buying or selling, jump into Purple Wave's auction rhythm at PurpleWave.com. Purple Wave. Auction. Sold means sold.
Across West Central Indiana, corn and soybean crops are in very good shape overall, but will they match what USDA has projected? Andy Eubank joins us now.
In a Channel Seed growing season update, Channel Seed Pro Levi Riggs of Riggs Ag Solutions says that is doubtful.
I think in my immediate area, which is Danville, Indiana, we're going to see an outstanding crop. But, you know, we got off to a kind of a rough start in Indiana as a whole, just with too much rain early. You got just way too much rain at planting all the way up through Lebanon and Kokomo, and south of me, you know, Clayton, US 40 south, just had a really big struggle getting planted on time. And and just too much rain. So I think when the final numbers come in, you'll see that we weren't quite as good as what they predicted.
Riggs covers Hendricks, Boone, and Putnam counties, and part of the reason for strong crops has been minimal disease pressure there.
We have been spraying some fungicide. We have had some southern rust come in here late. Gray leaf spot's been kind of the bugaboo this year with disease, but tar spot just really hasn't really made much of an impact in our area too much. So that's kind of been a blessing. But we did spray for some southern rust here recently.
Timely rain has also been a big help.
I don't recall in August where we've received so much rain, especially up kind of in the northwest side around Attica. Those guys up in that area are getting some rains on some soil. That we haven't seen in August.
Riggs is hoping for a stronger finish to soybeans than previously thought. Rain would help, but there isn't much of that in the next 2 weeks. He also hopes there is a window still open to add to grain fill in corn. Hear more in the Full Hat and Channel Seed Growing Season Update at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm Andy Eubank.
And I'm CJ Miller, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
At Farm Credit Mid-America, we do more than lend. We lift up our rural communities that we serve, too. From our day-to-day business of supporting farmers to our community investment efforts and scholarships for students, we help local rural communities find their next level. Visit fcma.com/community to learn more about our commitment to communities. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
Seed Genetics Direct is proud to announce their new 2026 seed guide is now available for viewing at seedgeneticsdirect.com. They've added three new powerful hybrids to their corn lineup, along with seven new soybean releases, including one that shows natural resistance to white mold. There's lots to be excited about for the 2026 growing season. View the Seed Genetics Direct seed guide online and make your shopping list today. Value, knowledge, performance, it's in their genetics. Seed Genetics Direct.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. I've got a beautiful forecast for you here. I'm not going to pull any punches. I like this forecast. I like this forecast a lot. This forecast takes me back a mere 20-some-odd days ago when we were starting off the month of August. And I was thinking, hey, why can't all Augusts be like this? And then, you know, August did August things. We were back at it. And, you know, it felt like complete ridiculousness, especially during the time that I was working outside a whole big bunch on the farm. And now here we are. We head toward the latter part of August, and we go back to that 1st of August kind of weather forecast pattern. That's right, cooler and less humid. I beat around the bush quite a bit. Let's get right to it. Today, dew points are down. Temperatures are pulling back. The end of the week here looks definitely more comfortable than what we saw earlier this week and into last week. But we have sunshine dominating today and tomorrow, and a frontal boundary actually trying to work through the Great Lakes over the weekend. This front mostly going to impact Wisconsin and Michigan with regard to precipitation. So if you're looking for more rain, if that's what you want from me this morning, not going to happen. But if you want a window into temperatures that are much more palatable, I can give you that. Rain over the weekend, mostly going to be impacting Michigan. Scattered showers and thunderstorms up there. I think we see cloud cover offshoots from that Saturday midday and afternoon, but no precipitation the way I'm seeing it right now. And then we see a secondary surge of cooler, less humid air coming across the Great Lakes for Sunday. And then that holds through Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of next week. Again, go back to the way we started August, and we're going to put together a string of those kind of days here. Gets a midweek next week. We start to warm temperatures for next Thursday and Friday. As we warm temperatures, I can't rule out a little bit of heat-based instability, a few scattered showers and thunderstorms coming back. In my mind, those are mostly going to be farther west. Eastern Kansas, Iowa, Missouri, Northern Illinois, Wisconsin, Minnesota. Those are the areas that we're seeing the best activity the second half of next week. But don't rule it out here as humidity values creep back up. Then we go into the weekend. It's the Labor Day holiday weekend. Saturday looks fine. Sunday, maybe a few hit and miss of scattered showers. But the key here is hit and miss. By that point in time, especially those of you that did not get as much rain here recently this week as you wanted, most of those folks are going to be calling me saying, hey, I need a rain. Ryan, when's the next rain coming? So there's some moisture that pops up on Sunday the 31st, but it's not everywhere, and I don't think we get even 40% of the Hoosier State with scattered showers and thunderstorms. I'm going to skew it toward the southern part of the state, but don't dial that in yet in either. It can change quite dramatically. Then we get into Labor Day itself. I think we're warm and humid, but we're not necessarily seeing that trigger a lot of precipitation. The following week, that first full week of September, still nothing exceptionally well organized. We're seeing toward the 3rd and 4th a major front trying to move it through the upper Midwest and the central and western Corn Belt. But whether that can hold together and keep moisture as it gets here toward the end of that first full week of September, it's up in the air, so stay tuned and enjoy the stuff nearby. I'm Ryan Martin.
Hey, farmers need equipment? Check out Purple Wave Auction every other Wednesday. They're running ag auctions where everything sells, no reserve, no games. What I love is how they let you talk directly with sellers. Got questions about that tractor? Just ask. That's the kind of hometown service you want. But here's the kicker. Your equipment gets seen by buyers across the entire country. Whether you're buying or selling, jump into Purple Wave's auction rhythm at purplewave.com. Purple Wave Auction. Sold means sold. Gains, but small ones. This is Hoosier Ag Today and the Wednesday Farm Market Review. I'm Andy Eubank, and the review is brought to you by Farm Progress Show. What will your operation look like tomorrow? Find the future of farming today at Farm Progress Show. It's next week. Progress meets possibility at farmprogressshow.com. Settlements from a quiet day of trade. Coming up, we'll begin, though, with market analysis. Thoughts from Tom Fritz, EFG Group in Chicago. I spoke with him at the end of the session. A minor bounce back in corn, soybeans, and wheat after a couple of lower sessions, Tom, led by Chicago wheat. But corn and beans just barely able to hang on to those gains. It almost seems as though these markets right now are just biding their time, waiting for something big.
Well, you know, it's interesting the way you say it, biding their time. I just personally think they're stuck. I look at, everybody's focusing on the Pro Farmer Tour and what kind of yields they're uncovering. And, a lot of folks are saying, Pro Farmer, they have a tendency to be, for some states, guesstimating yields too high, some states guesstimating yields too low. Just to give you an example, somebody runs this thing. This goes back to since 2001. Now, this is corn yields. Ohio, they tend to be 5 bushels too high. Indiana, they tend to be 4.5 bushels too high. Illinois, 4.2 bushels too high. Iowa, 7.3 bushels too high. And Nebraska, here's an eye opener, they tend to be 14 bushels too high. Now, this is just an average since 2001. Minnesota, they tend to be 5.7 bushels too low. South Dakota, 4.6 bushels too low. And overall, the 7 states that they cover, they're normally 5.9 bushels too low. So what does this all mean? Who knows? But reading between the lines and what they have to say, I'm not seeing the 188.8 yield out there. Now, that's just me. I know there's been some commentary like, they're just, coming in right with what the USDA suggested. Well, maybe we all look at things a little bit differently. But I don't see the justification for a 188 point yield as of yet. And, the two biggest states, really Illinois, Iowa, I think, that's key. And, in Illinois, they found some really good yields and they found some not so good yields. I get the impression that they have found what some of the people have been squawking about in central Illinois, that they've had problems with pollination. So we'll see how it goes. For sure, I look at the cash markets. Most of them are on the defensive, including the export market. Now, the export market, that's more a function of southern harvest. that's going on as we speak. Talked to a gentleman down in northeast Louisiana, and he says, we've got an excellent corn crop down here, ranging 200 to 220 bushels to the acre. So, you know, that's really, really good. Soybeans, same thing. You know, there's tremendous yield potential out there, but potential, we're not done yet. You know, we've got a little bit of a dry bias for the next couple of weeks, colder than normal, or I should say lower than normal temperatures. How much lower? That remains to be seen. You know, somebody sent me a thing that suggested when you get up north into parts of Minnesota, North Dakota, lows are going to be in the low 40s. So what does that do to the soybean maturation cycle? Does it slow it down? Or will it just completely stop it? So that remains to be seen. So the bean yield, I think, is still up in the air. And that's why, you know, the last couple of days since this tour started, market seems to be stuck a little bit. Wheat, I think, is just pure and simple short covering. You know, we penetrated the $5 mark. We didn't get any follow through. So we get some short covering. Additionally, nearby wheat has a tendency, not saying it's going to happen all the time, has a tendency to make seasonal lows in late August. We did it last year. September Chicago wheat made a low at 493.5 in that last week and managed to finish above the $5 mark, and the market traded higher after that. Well, here, today's low was 494.5, and we rallied, 13 cents or so off that low to finish 7 cents higher on the day. So, you know, that's pretty solid stuff. Unfortunately, the Kansas City market doesn't give us anything like that, nor does the Minneapolis market. So, but, you know, it's we're all playing a waiting game. You know, as you said, we're biding our time. You know, my choice of words is, you know, we're stuck. And what's going to unstuck us? I really don't know. You know, it's, you know, I think whatever the Pro Farmer Tour comes up with when they give us their finals on Thursday afternoon, Thursday evening, it's going to be anticlimactic. And we're going to say, well, we need to get into harvest.
Tom Fritz, Market Analysis. Tom is at EFG Group. On the Hat Market Review, the settlements up just a half cent on September corn, 380. December contract goes to 404, gaining just 3/4. March up a penny and a quarter, 422. September soybeans up 2 cents, 1015. Novi, 1036, a gain of 2.25 on Wednesday. January up 2 at 1055.25. And 7 cents higher, September and December wheat. SEP 505.5, DEES wheat 528.25. Meats mostly higher. October live cattle, 234.85, up 350. October lean hogs, though, down 20 cents, 89.95. I'm Ian DeEubank with the Wednesday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.